Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. And we both welcome you back to The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find everything you need, audio, video, documentation, and more at NewWorldNextWeek.com. James, I hope a lot of other folks out there are out there enjoying the last little bit of summer, because ultimately, as we've said, you know, that's what we're all fighting about. I had a great time on the river today here in the Pacific Northwest, and I hope everyone out there can be safe and can find the joy in life, and it can't all be bad news, James, because there's black helicopters over Berkeley, and there's black helicopters over Minneapolis, and there's, of course, drones and police state technology over the political circus going on here in the States as we speak, and of course the political circus yet to come to decide again, James, whether we want Coke or do you want Pepsi. But we'll start this week with a positive of sorts bit of news, and we can take it from weareaustin.com and KWTX. Smart meter revolt: upgrade meets growing resistance in Texas. A nationwide effort to upgrade residential electric systems has run into growing resistance in Texas, where some residents are building steel cages around their old electric meters to prevent utility workers from installing new remote-controlled digital units. Those opposed to installation of the smart meter say the new units could allow government snooping by providing real-time information on residents, or rather, when residents are using electricity. They also worry about the health impact of the radio waves the new meters emit. Utility officials, however, say the new units are needed to help them manage electricity demand during peak periods. New units have been installed in 87% of the homes planned for conversion, but the Public Utility Commission will consider soon allowing residents to opt out of the system, as several states have already done. I provide a couple other links, James. You can just go to the Public Utility Commission of Texas website, and I already ran the search on smart meters for you, so you can go check out at least what they're offering up publicly. And on the flip side, a piece from newswithviews.com where DV Kidd provides her statement to the Public Utility Commission of Texas, and it is a lengthy article from someone who has been fighting the smart meter onslaught for quite some time now. James?
Yeah, positive story, kind of positive story. Glass half full, glass half empty, growing enslavement grid, growing resistance to enslavement grid. I guess it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing that people are tuned into this issue and care enough to do things like build steel cages around their old meters, because certainly this is an important issue. And for anyone who's being paying attention, even just to the mainstream media headlines, I think they'll start to understand that there's something afoot with these smart meters. And people who listened to my Corbett Report radio last night know the 20 more ways you are being spied on. One of those ways that we highlighted on the program last night was Petraeus saying earlier this year that that the CIA wants to be able to spy on you through your fridge and your doorbell and your clock radio and every other electronic device that you have, which soon enough will be hooked into the smart meter control grid. And there will be not only the ability for the government to come in and set your thermostat where they want, as Obama said a few years ago, but also they'll be able to monitor the data coming off of all of your instruments and electronic devices, etc. So I'm sure the regular viewers of New World Next Week will probably need no introduction to this this concept. But again, it is good to see that there is a growing resistance to this, and people are aware of this issue, and people are standing up and saying, no, that's what we need on this issue in order to let the powers that shouldn't be know that they're not going to be able to ram this this agenda down our throats. So I'm hoping to see more of this happening, not just in Texas, but around the states and around the globe.
James, our second story, it gets stranger. It gets more technological, if you will. Again, from the same folks we've seen, from the same eugenics-obsessed or dysgenics-obsessed so-called elite. We can take it from technet21.org by way of, and as always, a great hat tip to cryptogon.com. As the Gates Foundation funds anti-vaccine surveillance and alert system and on-demand vaccine delivery via low-cost unmanned aerial vehicles. And we note Seth Kalichman, or Kalichman, K-A-L-I-C-H-M-A-N, of the University of Connecticut, UConn.edu, in the United States, will establish an internet-based global monitoring and rapid alert system for finding, analyzing, and counteracting communication campaigns containing misinformation regarding vaccines to support global immunization efforts. Another one, on-demand vaccine delivery via low-cost unmanned aerial vehicles. George Barbastathis of the Harvard MIT Division of the Health Sciences and Technology, again in the U.S., will lead a team to develop unmanned aerial vehicles that can be deployed by healthcare workers via cell phones to swiftly transport vaccines to rural locations and alleviate last-mile delivery problems and improve cost, quantity, and coverage of vaccine supplies. James, we can pull back and see that the Gates Foundation has awarded $1.7 million to inspire supply chain innovation. And again, technet21.org has the breakdown on how earlier this year, 17 different proposals on how to optimize immunization systems were each awarded $100,000 by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation through its Grand Challenges Explorations Initiative. So we mentioned the anti-vaccine surveillance and alert system, James, which talked about counteracting misinformation. And we mentioned the drones. We've also got a bulletin board for broadcasting vaccine supply and demand. James, you know, I'll never miss an opportunity to reference Soylent Green, as they'll say, oh, we have X amount of this vaccine today. And when they say, oh, there's no more Soylent vaccine, the people will go mad. We got a mobile cloud system to achieve universal vaccination, a passive solar thermal standard for vaccine storage rooms, and on and on and on, James. And again, all of these will be provided, and folks can go check out these 17 different proposals for yummy vaccines, James.
And I implore them to do so. Please go and check out that link that that you dug up there, James. Thank you for doing that. Technet21.org, it's got the 17 different proposals that won the grant money from the Gates about deploying vaccines and counteracting anti-vaccine groups and things like this. It's just totally out of some nightmare science fiction scenario, and it is unfortunately all being funded into existence by the Gates Foundation. And this is a good contrast to the last story, where people are becoming energized and informed about the smart grid. I hope that they will become informed and energized about what the Gates Foundation is doing. And even if you are one of the people that believe that the vaccines are just loving, nourishing, wholesome goodness and that nothing bad could possibly come of this, at the very least, you should be a little bit concerned about drone-deployed vaccines and paying money to counteract people who want to bring up questions about the vaccines, etc. It is getting into some very disgusting and disturbing territory, and it is being funded by these billionaires who don't have your and my best interest in mind. And yet somehow the meme has become good guy Gates, and everyone online, oh, he's such a great man, I'm glad he's giving his money for good, he's so much better than Steve Jobs, and it becomes about that kind of ridiculous idea that's been being propagated most likely by the Gates Foundation, which is paying for its PR. It is paying for media partnerships with medias that partners that then cover Gates Foundation activities in a positive light. And you can go and look into the history of that. But all of this is just paying money to ramrod something, an agenda down our throats. And just like the smart grid, I think we have to resist this one with equal ferocity.
James, there's even compostable vaccine packaging. So I would just close this out with, you know, the note that we never want to look at the source problems of things. We love to apply Band-Aids to things, or, you know, the post issue, letting it blow up in our faces, and not look at the fact that, hey, maybe all our food is garbage, and hey, maybe you guys shouldn't be resurrecting and creating these diseases in a laboratory, which, oh gosh, somehow they always magically escape during some drill or accident. So we always, of course, you know, there's more money in the, that's disaster capitalism, I suppose, in some way, shape, or form, James.
Unfortunately so. It's a great point that you bring up. Why don't we look at the underlying causes instead of these vaccines that they constantly want to be pumping us to their great monetary benefit and our great health detriment?
Or bailing out the banks instead of looking at the fundamental problems. You could go on, and you can pretty much apply that to all of our supposed, you know, problems in the world. Our third and final story, James, we will take from NDTV as we go international. For the 16th annual Non-Aligned Movement, that's the NAM Summit, opening today. Amidst Western efforts to isolate Iran over its nuclear program, the 16th Summit of Non-Aligned Movement opens in Tehran on Thursday, that's August 30th, 2012, with issues like Syrian crisis and Palestine statehood set to dominate the agenda. The summit of the 120 nations grouping will open with Iran assuming the chair from Egypt for the next 3 years. While the U.S. has asked countries not to attend the NAM summit due to its venue, Iran is projecting the presence of world's leaders as a big diplomatic win. Asked about crucial issues, including Syria, on which the members have differing views, government sources said, quote, "We don't expect any fireworks on Syria. The attempt is to have a successful outcome of the summit," end quote. United Nations Chief Ban Ki-moon also arrived in Tehran as an invited observer to the summit. The United States and Israel have criticized his presence in Iran, and James provided with the related links, even just the Wikipedia entry to give you the background as I needed it, so some of you may as well, on the non-aligned movement. Of course, from the Jerusalem Post, Netanyahu says the summit in Tehran is a disgrace to humanity. Meanwhile, Iran says the summit in Tehran proves the failure of U.S. sanctions. And James, even your recent guest and I think great collaborator, Pepe Escobar, on Russia Today recently noting the Tehran NAM summit unites the real international community. James?
Absolutely. Again, this is a glass half empty, half full type of story. So let's look at the half full. At the very least, this gives to the lie to that old canard that they love to trot out, that the international community says this or that about Syria or whatever they're trying to do to exert Western and NATO-led force around the globe. Oh, the international community wanted to strike down Hussein, and the international community wants to, you know, invade Afghanistan and all of this. Well, this gives the lie to that. The international community, if it is represented by anybody or organization, which again I think is a slippery slope concept, but at the very least, here is the majority of the world's population being represented, and the majority of the absolute number of countries in the world being represented in this organization. So how can the Friends of Syria or whoever else wants to come in and try to dictate what's happening within the boundaries of that country claim to have the authority of the international community? It gives the lie to that. On the other hand, the way that this story is being reported in the mainstream Western press, surprise, surprise, is basically to say, oh, this ridiculous little organization, what do they know? And, oh, it's just a laugh fest. No one really cares what they have to say anyway. So, of course, it's not going to have that much of an effect on any of the propaganda that's being shoved down our throats or the discourse that's taking place from the Hitlery Clintons and what have yous of the political class. But at the very least, it does give the lie to what's going on, and hopefully more people will become informed about this body and others like it that go against the prevailing norms of what we're being fed on our 6 o'clock news.
James, I just double checked. I misspoke. This is not an annual meeting. This is the 16th non-aligned movement summit, but I just double checked. It was actually founded in Belgrade in 1961. So of course, let that be, you know, the example that I don't know it all. James, you don't know it all. We're all trying to share this information and get it right and get it out to everyone while we can. On that note, James, I'm going to do a live episode on Media Monarchy coming up. It's going to be episode 271. Before I put the live show on a bit of a hiatus, as I am so excited to go to work as a producer for Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis here in Portland, Oregon, which has gone national this week, and it'll really give me an opportunity to do my audio moves on a national scale, and I'm so excited.
Absolutely, an incredible opportunity. I'm looking forward to that, so best of luck in all of that, and of course we'll still be here with New World next week.
Yes, absolutely. James, this has been episode 126 of newworldnextweek.com. It's always a pleasure, James. Thanks to the viewers and the listeners and everybody out there.
Take care. See you next week.
All right.